Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti, and my friend Steve Garcher is here. And we have been talking about the day of Pentecost, and we're in the part that's immediately after the Spirit is poured out. And we've just finished talking about Peter, talking from the book of Joel, and showing, you know, preaching the basic kerygma of the faith. And the good news of salvation, you know, that this is the whole plan of salvation is encapsulized here, because the Father has sent the Son, and now the Spirit is poured out on the church. Now, this was literally pretty much the whole church here at this point. Is, you know, 120 people in the upper room. Mm-hmm. And I hope Thomas was there, doesn't say, because he's never around. You know, but there might have been a few people outside of the room, but this was pretty much the whole church.
That church, yeah.
That church, and a very Jewish church. These were the first Messianic believers, mm-hmm. literally.
100%.
And, you know, the signs and wonders had happened that proved that through God's sovereignty, all these things had happened. And, you know, he talks about how they had, that Jesus had been delivered up to these evil people and that he had been killed, but that out of this terrible act, which, you know, sounds like a horrible, brutal thing, you know, life comes from that. Our life comes from that. Our spiritual life comes from that. Our salvation comes from that. And that now, here was the proof, because mm-hmm. Jesus said the Paraclete is coming.
Right.
The Father's going to send another Paraclete. When the Spirit comes, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be clothed with power. Now, Peter's clothed with power, mm-hmm. and he's talking about Joel and David.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty cool. We don't know what the other guys are talking about, but presumably they're all out in the street. They're all doing, like, street ministry, and they're talking, like, all these people that are standing around.
Proclaiming the mighty acts of God.
Amen. Yeah. And this was all part of the plan of salvation. And do you want to read the passage about how the people reacted to this?
Sure. Yeah. Let's start with 36. Peter says, "Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, 'What are we to do, my brothers?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call.' He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day."
Mm.
What an outreach.
Outreach, yeah. That is great church growth. They're cut to the heart. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
The words that Peter's saying just penetrate them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is probably the group of people that said, what's going on here? More so than the group of people that said, oh, they're all drunk.
Yeah.
But maybe some of them, too. Mm-hmm. But when Peter's talking under the direction of the Holy Spirit and preaching this sermon, these people are cut to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of just reminds me of, you know, from the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, where it talks about the word is a two-edged sword because it can pierce your heart and
right.
divide things and brings out your innermost thoughts. And and as he's preaching the word, these people are cut to the heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, he talks about, you know, he calls them, they call each other brethren, and because, you know, they're all Jews.
Right.
They're all descended from Abraham.
Right.
And he talks about promises. You know, there were promises to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was that through his descendant, all the communities of the earth would be blessed.
Right.
So Peter says, this was Jesus. This was the promise. We saw the promise. We saw it happen.
And that's why they always go back. You know, as you read through the New Testament, you always see them going back and and doing lineages.
Yes.
And, you know, starting with Abraham and going through the prophets. That's why they always do that, because they're showing the people, look, this is in line with the Torah that you know, that they knew at that time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all the writings of the prophets and all these things. And Peter's going to, you know, point that out in the next little section, that, you know, the scriptures foretold that all these things were going to happen.
Right.
All of the Torah, all of the prophets. That's why when we talked about the road to Emmaus, you know, Jesus went through Moses and the prophets and said, all these things are about me.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, whoa, this is really awesome. Because they, there comes a time where these things just crystallize.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden now their minds are opened up to, this is really good stuff. Mm-hmm. This isn't just dry readings we heard in the synagogue when we were kids and we had to study this to do our bar mitzvah. And ever since then, we're not really interested in this anymore because it's boring.
Right. Yeah. I know that I've experienced where, you know, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, the scripture just came alive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we're studying God's word here and we're talking about how Peter's giving this awesome sermon, this awesome preaching, and, you know, there's that anointing that comes with someone who's really under the direction of the Holy Spirit, and the word just penetrates, and it's just amazing to see that and to even experience it, mm-hmm. where you're somewhere and someone's speaking and they're saying something, and it just, you know, that word of God just pierces your heart,
mm-hmm.
and you're open to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it just transforms, mm-hmm. you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does just a masterful job. He's got mm-hmm. a cut to the heart. I mean, that's a great description of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just saying, well, we're kind of interested in that. Can you tell me a little more?
Yeah.
They were like, what are we going to do now?
Yeah. And like you say many times, Peter would have never done this
an
hour ago.
No. Right.
You know.
Man, if you would have tried to do this, even when he was walking with Jesus, everybody would have just looked at him and said, okay.
Who's this Fisher guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's such
amazing.
A transformation.
They're cut to the heart. And it's just a great description of how penetrating the word is.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't try to do it in a kind of intellectual way. He just like gave them the word,
mm-hmm.
and they got hit by that.
Yeah.
It's a sword, double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. And then, you know, there's kind of a powerful part there at the end that basically what he's saying is Jesus of Nazareth came. He was the Messiah. You guys delivered him up. He was killed. And basically what they're saying is the Messiah was here and you guys missed it.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, you know, they're just, whoa, they missed the Messiah and he was here.
They didn't recognize the time of their visitation.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Amazing. And while we're talking about prophecies and things, do you have handy what he says about David there, which is actually from Psalm 16?
Yes.
Yeah, why don't you read that little section?
For David says of him, I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has been glad and my tongue has exalted. My flesh, too, will dwell in hope. Because you will not abandon my soul to the nether world, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with the joy in your presence. Then Peter continues, my brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus. Of this we are all witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Exalted at the right hand of God, he received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father and poured it forth as you see and hear. For David did not go up into heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right mm-hmm. hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from Psalm 16 and starts at verse 8. And this is an amazing passage because David, of course, was a prophet mm-hmm. as well as the king and the writer of the Psalms. And there's a lot of prophecies in the Psalms.
Right.
People don't usually give David credit as being a prophet. Mm-hmm. It was really pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Because the Psalms, especially that talk about the Messiah being God, the Messiah being Lord, these interconnections of the Godhead with the Messiah that's coming are in a lot of the Psalms. Mm-hmm. Even down to, you know, you have given me a body and I came to do your will. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
That when we look back on it, because, you know, we're on this side of the cross, we look back on something like that and say, wow, that was really amazing. Mm-hmm. But these people missed it.
Yeah.
So when they got cut to the heart, they said, oh, we missed it.
Yeah.
What are we going to do now?
Yeah.
And this whole thing, you know, David, as being a prophet in that passage, he also is a type of Christ. He's a forerunner of Christ. He's a prefigurement of Christ, because it says he sees the Lord always before him. Mm-hmm. Jesus always talked about how he always did what the Father wanted him to do. He always mm-hmm. talked to the Father. The Father was always before him. I tell you what, you know, I do what the Father wants me to do. I say what the Father's saying. Mm-hmm. You know, the Father was always before him. And, you know, he's at the right hand, you know, which is the hand of power. You know, the left hand, of course, was bad in those days.
Yeah.
They didn't want people to be left-handed, because that was like in fact, our word sinister is the Latin word for left. That was a bad thing.
Right.
So It says, you know, he's at the right hand. The right hand of God is the power. You know how God delivered the Israelites from Egypt. He talked about with a mighty right arm. And,
yeah.
And Jesus knew, like David knew and Jesus knew, that the joy was coming. Jesus always looked forward to, when I'm done with this work, there's joy set before me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to what I was before.
Yeah.
You know, he looks forward to the end of the work and to what's set before him. And he knew that the love he had for the Father and the love he had for the humans, for the mankind, was going to lead to this horrible suffering and this horrible sacrifice that he was going to endure. Mm-hmm. And he was, of course, willing to do it. And David said, you know, the body's not going to see corruption.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus was in the tomb short amount of time, not enough for any kind of biological decay to start, because that wouldn't have been possible.
Right.
Not going to see corruption. And also from the right hand of the Father, he's going to pour out the Spirit. And so he's really prophesying about Jesus' passion, his resurrection, his ascension, that he's going to sit at the right hand of the Father. And Peter points out that what he's saying here is not about him. David's not talking about David, because he says, here's David's tomb right here. Yeah. The guy died. We buried him in this tomb.
He didn't go to heaven.
Didn't go to heaven. He didn't rise.
He didn't rise, yeah.
Didn't rise from the dead. Didn't go to heaven yet. But here, this Jesus that we're talking about, David is actually prophesying that in this psalm. We can show you where his tomb was, but he's not there.
Right.
And we are witnesses to this. Mm-hmm. We saw him after he rose from the dead. We saw him literally ascend into heaven with the same body that we walked around with for 3 years.
Right.
You know, John in his first letter talks about, you know, we heard him, we saw him, we touched him.
Right.
You know, they touched his body. They were with him all the time. We saw that body literally rise into heaven, just like David's talking about in that psalm. So David wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about this Messiah. And, you know, Jesus, of course, one of his messianic titles is David's son. Mm-hmm. He's the son of David.
Right.
He sits on the throne of David. But, you know, David says, the Lord said to my Lord.
Right.
So, you know, David's son, who is Jesus, is also his Lord.
Yes.
Which is interesting. Because mm-hmm. your son's not generally your Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're Mary. Then in that case, your son is your Lord.
Yeah.
But David's son, in the sense of, you know, David had other sons.
Yeah.
And Jesus was, you know, 1,000 years or so down the line.
Yeah.
You know, and he was literally related to David, but David calls him Lord, mm-hmm. capitalized.
You know, it's the same thing when Elizabeth, you know, when Mary yes. greets Elizabeth and Elizabeth says, how is it that the mother of my Lord
yes.
should come to me?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Peter does this really great Bible study on this Psalm 16. I mean, whatever it is there, 3, 4, or 5 verses.
Mm-hmm.
He just really takes it apart and says, see, David's talking about what Jesus just did. He's not talking about himself because here's David's tomb.
Yeah.
We know he's in there. He didn't rise. So that was really awesome. And then, like you said, when you read there, we're all witnesses to this.
Mm-hmm.
Me and these guys that are here with me, we're witnesses to the fact that Jesus of Nazareth was here. He died. He rose. He was with us for a while longer. He ascended into heaven. David didn't do that. Nobody else has done that.
Mm-hmm.
We're witnesses to it.
Yeah.
Pretty good sermon from a guy that was hiding in the behind the door looking at the people.
Is anybody out there? You know, as you're describing this, what's coming to me is you're starting to hear the tenets of the faith come together as we proclaim in the creed.
Yeah.
You know? And it's really interesting that the first teachings in the church was a book called the Didache, mm-hmm. which was teaching of the 12 apostles, but mm-hmm. that was really the instruction of the faith at that time. And as you're speaking, I'm hearing the tenets of the creed, you know,
mm-hmm.
in what Peter is saying here, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven,
yeah.
sits at the right hand of the Father, you know. It's just, you know, it just had to be an awesome day
mm-hmm.
to experience that at the Feast of Pentecost there mm-hmm. in Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah. With thousands of people around.
Yeah.
And these guys running around like they're drunk preaching. But an amazing Bible study
mm-hmm.
that he does. And, you know, the whole summary of the thing was Messiah came. He died so that you can have life. He rose. He ascended. David talked about it. We're all witnesses of it. You guys missed it.
Mm-hmm. And that Jesus had to ascend to the Father, that the yes, Spirit would come.
Be poured out, exactly.
Right. Yeah, or else, there, yeah.
Yeah, because Jesus himself said, if I don't go back to the Father, the Spirit can't come.
Right.
So when these guys are cut to the heart, you can imagine the emotion of that.
Because
mm-hmm. now they realize Jesus was the Messiah. We saw him here walking around. They might have even seen him being crucified,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the people that were there.
Yeah.
And we did this, and our leaders did this, and we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what they were doing. Now what are we going to do?
Yeah.
But Peter, you know, although he, you know, preaches this in a good way and in a strong way, he gives him the gospel message and says, repent and be baptized. That's what you have to do.
Yeah. And, you know, I think back to when Jesus restored Peter. You know, he's asking him, Peter, do you love me?
Yes.
Lord, you know that I love you. You know, feed my sheep. He asked him 3 times. And, you know, Peter, you know, each time he says, Lord, you know that I love you. You know everything. You know, feed my sheep, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. And here he is feeding
mm-hmm.
and being a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and shepherding people back to the Messiah and into salvation
mm-hmm.
in Messiah, in Jesus. Just an awesome example of, here's Peter who many times, you know, we probably give him a hard time, but he is.
We'll get to talk to him about it someday.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to want to have a word with us when we get there. But he, you know, he would always say something that the Lord would usually have to rebuke him for, except when he said, who do people say that I am? You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. He goes, you got that right.
Yeah.
You know,
but everything else,
you know, all this other stuff, you know, get behind me. And here he is proclaiming the gospel, you know, and he was the one that denied Christ 3 times. Jesus restores him. And now he's the rock upon which,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jesus said, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And he's the one who's giving this awesome sermon,
mm-hmm.
this awesome teaching, mm-hmm. where 3,000 people come mm-hmm. into the come into the church that very day.
Mm-hmm. And it's rock solid teaching.
Yeah.
It wasn't his usual boasting and babbling and asking some silly question.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when, you know, he says to Jesus, well, what about John? And John says, well, that's none of your business.
None of your business. What if I want him to stay here until I return?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome. I hear shofars. Well, the shofars mean that we're coming up on another break here on The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.